To begin with, when we look at this passage here, I want to show that this story here is a story that shows that the world is not easy, right? The world is not all pretty here, right? When you read all these names of everything else, you might ask the question when we read at 2 Kings 5. I want to really look at the story, really, in verses 1 to 7 of the faith, the amazing faith of this young girl. But before we do all that, I want to put this in the story in its background. Like, what is going on here in this story, right? In this story, when the story takes place, Israel, which is where the country where Jesus came from, in this country, over a thousand years before Jesus Christ actually came on earth, and this country actually had a lot of troubles going on here. There was actually, what's going on in this time was actually wars were going on in this time, right? Is war a good thing? No, right? War is not a good thing. And you see that Israel was being attacked by all these different countries. And one of the countries is actually the Arameans, a group of people, which is now in modern day Syria. It's like a little north of Israel. So they would always fight with one another. If you look in verses 2 says this. Now the Arameans had gone out in bands. And the reason why they came together in a group of bands was actually to attack all different parts of Israel. In fact, one of their great military leaders is described in verses 1 as a man named Naaman, who is the captain of the army, or that's basically, he's like the leader of the army. If there was someone that was probably mean, that was really tough, it is in this story, this guy named Naaman. Naaman, as described in verses 1, was the king, was the captain of the army for the king of Aram. So he was a very important man, and he was a very powerful man, right? But verses 1 in the end says that there's one thing, don't describe him in all these good things, there's one bad thing that happened to him, and that he was actually a leper. Does anybody know what leprosy is? What is leprosy? Talk to me.
Oh.
Yes.
It's like a disease where your skin turns white and you take your fingers off and stuff.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, actually very good. Yeah, leprosy is a disease, and it would always do damage to the face. A lot of times people describe it as you turn white. And it's basically, it's like, yes, we all don't like pimples, right? Some of you guys are in the age where you guys are having pimples. I remember those days also as well. And it's even times 10 of pimples. It's spread all over. And it's like these big things where people look, whoa, it's disgusting and everything else. And it does many damage to your skin where people are avoid you. Like, okay, I don't want that thing too, so I'm going to stay away from you. And people will sometimes live outside the city. It's like the worst type of pimples you could ever have. It's worse than pimples. And people would avoid you, right? They would not just only not talk to you or look away. They will try to avoid you, and you probably live outside of the city also as well for most individuals. This guy was powerful. He was tough, but he has this one big problem. He had the worst pimple problem than anybody here in this room could ever imagine, right? And here he was in verses 1, it says that he had this problem, that is leprosy, where it caused a lot of trouble and physical health problems that come with this, right? Who here would want leprosy? No one would want leprosy, right? And here was this guy that though he was great and everything else, he was a man that had leprosy, right? And in this troubled world that it is in, right, there is in this story, in the middle of the story, is one little girl, right, that is in the middle of the story that is described only really in 2 and 3 verses. But I would say that she's actually the main character in the story, even though she's not mentioned a lot. In fact, she's probably the best example that we would want to copy is the story of this little girl, right, that all of us, however young we are at, 4 years old or 7 or whatever else, we are at. We all should be like this little girl in 3 different ways. And the 3 ways that we should all be like this little girl is, first, we should all follow God even when our life is hard. Even when our life is hard, we should follow God. We should be all like this little girl who even loved not only God, but even loved her enemies also as well, right? And thirdly, we should all be like this little girl who trusted that God can do big and great things. All things God could do. And this little girl trusted in God also as well. The first point I want to go over is that we should all be like this girl who is able to follow God even when life is hard. Now raise your hand here if you guys ever had a bad day. Yes, all of us here, right? You had a bad day? We could have days where things aren't going well, right? We could have days where things aren't going well, right? Now, As much as we could say we have a bad day, this little girl had a really, really bad day. In fact, she didn't just only have a bad day, she had probably going to have a whole bad life ahead of her. Look here in this story, in verses 2. Verses 2 describe that this little girl was kidnapped, right? This little girl was taken from her mom and daddy, right? If you look at verses 2, it says that the band of Arameans had, quote, taken a captive little girl from the land of Israel, right? Now, who here likes living at home? All of us, right? Everyone else. Who, you know, you love your mom and dad. You want to be around your mom and dad, right? I remember Jonathan telling me, like, he's so excited. He wants to sometimes see his dad that's living in China. He even invited me, hey, Jimmy, could you come over to me this summer for, over with him? I said, I have a whole VBS to plan for, right? Because you want to be around your mom and dad. But here is this girl taken away from her home country, and she's now in a different country, and she's kidnapped, taken away from her own home, right? Does any one of you guys want this to happen to you, right? No, right? She probably never saw her mom and dad ever again. Never, ever again, right? And here in this case, this little girl had a bad thing in her life, right? Not only was she kidnapped, but she was now made a slave here, right? You know, it's not easy being a slave, right? Who here wants to be a slave? Nobody, right? Who here mom and dad tell you to do things? Yes, right? Who here have a hard time doing things that your mom and dad tells you, right? You raise your hand. Jonathan, raise your hand. Anthony, raise your hand. Can we testify here, right? Come on, talk to me now here, right? If you're not raising your hand, your mom and dad will probably raise your hand right now, right? Now, how much more is it hard? If it's hard to listen to your mom and dad, how much more harder is it if you are a slave? And now you're a slave, you have to do it. You say, I don't want to do it. You put your hands together, and guess what happened? That's not your mom and dad that loves you. They'll probably beat you. They'll probably take away your food. They'll probably punish you in very strong ways that your mom and dad probably would never do to you, right? Because they don't love you. Now, do you guys think this girl have it really hard?
No.
Yes, right? It's hard, right? Isabel, yes, uh-huh. It's probably very, very hard that what's going on in her life. But another thing I want to show is that she's probably, another thing that's part of her life that makes it even more harder is that she is not important. Who here wants to be important in your life? I think we all want to be important in our life, right?
Yeah.
I think all of us want our mom and dad to see us as important, to have others to see us as important. We want our friends to like us. We want to be where our friends talk about good things about us. We want it to be where even our friends are all circle around us and everybody else all circle around us and talk to us, right? But I want to show that this girl here, her life is so hard, added to all the hardness of her being kidnapped, she was also viewed not as important, right? Let me ask you guys this question. What is this name of this little girl? Somebody tell me. Look at verses 2 to 4. And somebody tell me, preferably someone that's younger than 18, tell me. What is the name of this little girl?
Oh.
Jonathan. Big boy voice, tell me.
Sandra?
Actually, there is no name for this girl, right? This is how unimportant this little girl is. In this story, she's so not important that her name is never even mentioned, right? Look at the fact that this girl, you know, all these bad things are happening, and even on top of this, there's no name that is mentioned of this girl. In fact, this girl in some sense is important. Without this little girl, Naaman would never be healed with his leprosy, as you see in the end, verses 8 to 14, right?
Yeah.
She is so unimportant that even she does not have a name that is mentioned. But let's look at the difference between this girl and this other person in the story, right? Look at Naaman, this guy who's so important that he's given a name in verses 1, right? This little girl is so unimportant with no name, and this other guy is shown like, whoa, this guy is probably very important. But the very fact in verses 1, he has a name, and the guy's name is Naaman, right? Very easy to remember. The guy's name is Naaman. Men, right? So this guy has a name, right? And look at all these things that is described about him, right? The little girl does not even describe where is she from, what's her name, who is her parents, not even a name. And this guy is so important to everybody else that not only he has a name, but there's 7 things that is described about this Naaman, right? 7 things that is described about this Naaman. You see that he is described as a captain of the army, right? He's described as a captain of the army, right? right? So he's an important soldier. He's called a great man in verses 1. In verses 1, he's also described as highly respected. He's described as one who has victory in war, right? As it says, quote, because by him the Lord has given great victory to Aram, to the country, right? He's important also as well that he's a valiant warrior. He's a brave soldier or a courageous soldier, right? And he's so important, he's probably quite rich too. He was married. It even described that he had a wife. And he had slaves also as well, right? And a slave for his wife, which is the little girl, right? So in contrast to this little girl, the little girl, all these bad things happened. And in everybody else's eyes, she was not important. She had no name. But here was somebody else that is opposite. A man with many names and many description about, information that is written here about him in just only 2 verses. There are 7 things. In fact, if you look elsewhere, it talks more about Naaman, right? More than this girl. More description is found in verses 5, the fact that he somehow was able to have a lot of money given by the king, right? Verse 5 says this, when he left the king, he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 shekels of gold and 10 changes of clothes, right? So it's a lot. Do you guys think 6,000, is that a lot of gold to have, right?
Yeah.
Now, in that time period, most people, if they have shekels, they have silver shekel because gold is very expensive, right? So this guy, and the value of gold back then is twice as much as silver, right? So this guy, if he has the equivalent of almost 12,000 silver, right? This guy is very rich, right? He's like a millionaire, you could say, right? And this guy's very important. And here's this girl that's not important, right? But we're going to see that in the way God looks at things, God doesn't look at just only the money. God's not going to only just look at whether or not you're strong, you're buff, or you're rich. He's going to look in your heart to see whether or not you have a relationship with him. Here's this girl that's not important in the world. A small little slave girl that nobody even remembered to put her name in the Bible. And yet God is going to look at her and see she's even better and greater because of her relationship and trust in God, right? If you look here in this story, I think this is something, it's fascinating because in verses 3, this little girl is going to tell her master's wife one thing. In verses 3, it says this. She said to her mistress, I wish that my master were with the prophets who is in Samaria. Then he would cure him of his leprosy. Let me ask you guys a question. Someone tell me, someone under 18, tell me, what is it that the little girl told her master? Okay, somebody else? What did she tell her master?
A God!
Albert, you've been voluntold.
A God!
There was
a
prophet who was Samaria. He would take.
Yeah, so she's basically telling this master, the slave master's wife, saying, hey, I see that the master Naaman has a leprosy, but I only wish she knew of a man of God, a prophet. A prophet is basically someone that speaks the word of God, that God gives him special words of God. And she's saying that, hey, I want my master to be able to be healed, to have the leprosy, to have that big disease removed, that turned his skin white and everything else, and all bumpy and all weird and everything else, to have it removed by the power of God through the prophet, right? I want to show here that in this story, this girl here, though her life is hard, she still remember God. Her mom and dad is not around, and she still remember God. And I think this is important, because I want to challenge you guys, even if you're little, if you were to be gone away from mom and dad and from the church, will you still remember to trust in God, even though your life is tough, right? When the day comes, one day you guys will go to college, move off, and go to the dorms and the apartments and everything else, will you still, when your mom and dad is not looking, when your friends and the people at church and your pastor and nobody else is there, will you still remember God, and will you still trust in God, even when the times are not easy, right? But I want to even ask you guys another question. How did this little girl knew about a prophet in Samaria. And when I was preparing this sermon this week, I was actually, the whole time, who I'm actually picturing in my mind is that I'm actually picturing little Isabella, right? I'm actually picturing little Isabella, a little slave girl, taken away, not knowing much. And how did this little girl know about a prophet in Samaria? Apparently her masters did not know about this prophet in Samaria. And I think the reason why she knew about this prophet in Samaria was because she heard the conversation, what big people, what adults talk about, the things of God. Perhaps her mom and dad even as well talked to her about even quote-unquote the adults' things of God and the things of God, even to say, hey, you know what? There's a great prophet named Elisha who's a man of God who does all these great miracle things, and he tells the word of God even though people don't like it. But we as a family, you little girl also as well, you need to trust in what God says, because God's word is good for you, and we need to trust in God even when it's tough, and we should obey the prophet also as well. Maybe perhaps she listened in to what old people said also as well, and she listened, and it became part of who she is because her parents took it in and saw this is important, even for a little girl as young as Isabella to even know about the things of God, right? And this is, I want to even challenge you guys as an application. I know I come up to every single one of you guys that are young, and I always ask you guys a question. What's the question I ask you guys? I always come and say, I have a question, and every one of you guys will say, what's that question? What did you learn today? Thank you, Alan, right? What did you guys learn today, right? And the reason why I ask you guys this, and the reason why I encourage others to ask you guys this, is that I want it to be, or whatever you guys, whoever teaches you guys, when it's Pauline Chen, or whoever it is, or whoever that teaches you guys, Oscar, I want you guys to have whatever word it is, to know and remember it. Not only remember it after Sunday, when you actually guys eat a meal, not even after next week, but even weeks to follow, so that if your mom and dad were to be gone away from your life, if they were even to leave this world, that you would still know to trust in God, even when it is hard, right? I also not only want to show that this little girl should be, all of us should be like this little girl, that we trust in God, even when it's hard and our life is difficult. But we should be like this little girl who love her enemies also as well, right? Let me ask you guys this question. Are there people in this world, is everybody in this world easy to love?
No.
No, right? Some people are very hard to love. Some people don't even deserve to be loved by us, right? True or not? Right? Maybe there are people in school that you don't get along with well, right? Maybe there are people, perhaps even your siblings, that you feel, oh, I don't get along with them. Or maybe in school, there's someone that picks on you, or somebody gives you a hard time. Maybe perhaps in your life, there's someone that always make fun of you, or even gossip, or say bad things about you behind your back, right? What should our attitude be towards those who made themselves our enemies? If you look at this little girl actually even loved those that were her enemies, right? Look here in verses 2, or in this story, right? In this story, if there's someone who we should feel sorry for, who should it be in this story?
The little girl.
The little girl, why?
Because she failed.
Okay, because she, okay, what else? Someone else besides Jonathan.
Jonathan too.
Hector, why should we feel sorry for this little girl? She's a slave, right? All these bad things are going on. If there's any one person in the story that we should feel sorry for, it should be this little girl. But if you look at the story, nobody feels sorry for her. Nobody even takes pity for her, right? Nobody even cares for her. But if you look at the story, it's funny because this little girl who we should have pity for when we read this, we're like, oh, how sad. She's not the one who's receiving pity. In fact, she's the one that she's giving pity to somebody else, right? If you look again in verses 3, she says, I wish that my master was with the prophet who is in Samaria. Then he would cure him of his leprosy, right? This little girl did not get any pity from anybody, and yet she is able to show pity on somebody else. She showed pity to her old master, right? Now, is this amazing? I think this is amazing. The fact that this little girl who doesn't get any pity is able to show pity to somebody else, even though her life is miserable, right? If you look at this girl, she has no reason why she should have pity for Naaman, right? First and foremost, she is a Jew, and he is a Aramean, right? There are different religion, different, even different group of people, right? That's almost like, okay, well, why should I love you? Because I'm whatever race and everything else. Well, we should be beyond that, right? She has the love for, and the reason why she's able to show pity is because it's deeper than that. It's because of her relationship with God, right? She's able to even love and even show pity, even though Naaman is what? Is the leader of the army that first kidnapped her, right? Here's the guy who's the leader, and she's kidnapped by an army by the Arameans. And the leader of that group is Naaman himself, right? She's able to show pity even though this person is really her enemy. The reason why she's a slave, the reason why she's no longer sees her mom and dad, the reason why she has all these tough things and miserable things and bad things happen in her life is directly because of Naaman, who is the leader of all the things, who caused all these problems, right? And yet, she even loves him and cares for and shows pity to this Naaman, even though she is her slave and he is the master, right? Slaves could be very difficult, where you could hate the master. But this little girl, if you look at the story here, is able to even love her master, right? She's able to even love her master. And why is that? Why is this? I think this little girl is older than her age. She might be little, she might be not important, but in God's eyes, she was a very grown up, mature little girl, right? She was able to love her enemies, right? She's able to even love her master and love another enemy that have caused her all these bad things, right? And I want to ask you guys, all of you guys, who is it that you have a hard time with in life? Are you able to have the love for your enemy that just like this little girl who can even wish and say, I wish my enemy, my master, my Naaman in my life, I wish that God would be able to heal him, right? I think in the same way also as well. And you guys realize sometimes it's very hard to love, right? Sometimes we can pretend to love, right? Sometimes we can pretend to love but not really mean it. When Nancy was a little kid, I love this little story. My wife Nancy, her mom always tells me this story about when they were a little kid, when it was just only Nancy and her older brother Tim. Tim was like only 2 years older than her. So whenever the mom and dad would look, the little brother Tim would hug her and say, I love you to little Nancy. But as soon as the mom turns around, you know what he did? He'll grab the fire engine and start hitting her in the head, right? And then she's like, whoa, what happened? It was just like 5 seconds ago. You said you loved her, hugged her in front of me. And as soon as I turn around, she's like, you know, she's getting clubbed and, you know, little Nancy just smiling and everything else. And then the little brother's like clubbing her with the fire engine and everything. She's like, whoa, what's going on, right? Listen, it is hard to love people, true or not. We can pretend to love people, but the biggest way we know whether or not we love somebody is when nobody else is looking. Do you still want to do what is good and what is right and what is beneficial towards that other individual, right? Do not be like that little brother, Tim Burton, right? Who just only show a love, but it's not real. It's only so that people see it and say, oh, how cute you are, right? But have a real love that even your own enemy you would love, right? When you are in the school playgrounds, when someone steals your things, when someone say mean things about you, when someone gossip about you, when someone talk bad about you, when someone complain about your clothes, when someone tell you, you know, your mom is so fat joke, when somebody is making fun of your personality, are you able to still forgive them, right? Are you still able to say, I no longer will count this against you. I will no longer say, hey, I'm going to against you. I'm going to throw you a fist because of all you've done, right? Have you forgiven them? Are you also like this little girl, not only just forgiving your enemy, but will you also, I want to show here, the way she shows her love is by how, in verses 3. The way she shows her love for her master, for her enemy, is that she opened her mouth and talked about God, right? She opened her mouth and talked about God, right? For all you guys, it's not enough just only to say, hey, I'm going to forgive you, my enemy, in the school playground. We should also even love our enemies, love those who does not love us, by even talking to them about God, right? About how God could work in their life, or how God could even bless their life and make their life even better, right? This is a real love, right? A love that's not jealous, okay, I hate you, you're my enemy, and I wish everything bad about you. But it's a love that says, hey, I even want God to do even good things in your life, right? When you go back home today, make it a point, maybe perhaps even think about, you close your eyes and even think about three names of people that are your enemy, or people that don't love you, or even think about people you don't like, right? And go home and even vow in your heart to even say, I'm going to make it a goal to forgive them and even show my love to them so deeply that I will even tell them about how God can bless their life, right? And the last point I want to show is, not only should we be like this little girl by trusting in God, walking with God, and praying to God and talking to God even when it's difficult, and secondly, to even love God so much that we would even love our enemies. But a third part I want to show, and I hope even perhaps even for the parents to talk about with the kids afterward also as well, is we should be like this girl who trusted that God can do all things. Who trusted that God could do all things, right? And when you look at the story, in verses 3, I know we've been looking at it camping out here, but this is an amazing faith, an amazing trust in God that this little girl has. Verses 3 said, she said to her mistress, I wish that my masters were with the prophets who are in Samaria. Why does she wish that her master, Naaman, is with the prophet in Samaria, which is the name is Elisha? The reason why is, as you see in verses 3, the last sentence, is that he, the prophet, would cure him of leprosy, right? She trusts not so much that a prophet could do a good thing, but she trusts more of God who gave the power to the prophet to bring the healing of a leprosy, right? Having leprosy sometimes is incurable, right? And here you see in verses 3, this girl's faith, her trust in God is so great, she believed God can do all things, right? He can do all things, even healing a man from the leprosy to remove this leprosy also as well, right? And I want to show this little girl is someone we should be like, right? This little girl who has no name, who is not important, who's just a lowly slave on the bottom of the all bottom in society, right? This is someone we should be like, right? But I want to point out someone whom we should not be like also as well. If you look with me in verses 6 to 7, we see in contrast, the opposite of this little girl is actually a king from Israel. In verses 6 to 7, it says, it describes about the king of Israel. And I'll read verses 6 to 7. Verse 6 to 7 states this. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, and now as this letter comes to you, behold, I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy. And then verse 7, when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, and this man is sending word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? But consider now and see how he is seeking a quarrel against me, right? This little girl had so much faith, she could say to Naaman, say, hey, go to Samaria, which is like a little state, like a little area in Israel, and there's a prophet that could heal you. So Naaman decided, oh yeah, I'm going to go seek this king. He's going to go to another country, to a new country, another country called Israel, the country that he's an enemy of, that he fights and even send people to attack. Here he goes with a letter saying, hey king, could I come? I want to be healed. And do you see what the king's response is? By the way, when this guy comes, Naaman comes, he didn't just only come empty-handed. He didn't just only come with a letter. Verses 6 mentioned that he comes with 10 talents of silver and 6,000 shekels and 10 clothes, right? Yes, today we live in a world that, you know, people love clothes, right? We spend like $100 on a shirt or whatever else it is. Back then in their day, clothes were also valuable too. In fact, because for some people, the most valuable thing you could ever have, for some people in that time period, is the clothes you wear, right? And here's this guy, when he comes over, he comes with how many clothes? In verses 5, someone asked me, how many clothes does he bring along with him? 10, right? And he's probably not bringing these clothes for himself. He's probably bringing it to the king and to the prophet and say, heal me, I'm going to pay you with even nice clothes also as well. And I like this story. He goes over to the king and he's nice to the king of Israel. And then the king of Israel, you know, Naaman gave him clothes, and I love this because in verses 7, the king, as soon as he read the letter, heal me, what does he do? He's like, he just go ahead and rips the clothes, right? Even though he's been giving clothes, and he rips it, this is bad. And why? Because he's afraid. He's afraid, he's saying, because, oh no, this is a trick. This is a trick, and saying, he's trapping me to say, hey, heal me, and then I'm not going to be able to heal him and have a prophet to heal him. I'm going to be like, killed, and there's going to be a war, right? He rips the very clothes that they just didn't give. and he's warning. He's saying like, I'm in a world of trouble, right? This king is a great king, and yet he had no faith, right? He had no faith. This is the opposite, exact opposite of this little girl, right? This little girl who had no power whatsoever, had not a single power. She's small, she's little, as verses 2 describe, and yet she's so little, and she has no power because even down to the level of a slave, had so much trust in God, he said, to tell even her master, her enemy, to say, hey, go to God, go to the prophet of God and be healed. And he was a king of Israel who had all the powers of God, who had all these prophets, the men of God, who knows the word of God, coming to him, telling him to trust in God, had all these powers, and yet he turned out that his faith was even less than that of this little, nameless, unimportant, and little girl who's in a world of all kinds of difficulty. Yet she trusted in God, right? Listen, ears, if I could have everyone eyes here looking at me here real quick. I think it is important that no matter where you are in your life, you should have a deep trust in God, right? You might be like this little girl. The little girl could say, why did God allow this to happen? That I would be a slave. Did you guys realize? It is actually God allowed it to happen. Look with me real quick in verses 1. When you see that the fact in verses 1 that Naaman was highly respected. Why? It actually says in verses 1 why. Quote, because by him the Lord has given a victory to Aram, right? Who gave Naaman the power to be militarily victorious? God, right? God allowed this to happen. In fact, in the Hebrew, I think it's even stronger than just allowed. God made this happen also as well. Now, you might say, why would God be so mean to allow bad things to happen in my life? Why would God allow me to go to school and have people that give me a hard time all the time? Why would God allow me to have give me even teachers that give me a hard time also as well? Why would God allow me to have people make fun of me that the fact that I'm a Christian? Why would God allow all these hard things to happen in my life? And when you look at the story, the reason why God allowed it, as you see later on, was actually to bring this guy who does not know God, who is not Jewish at all, to come to see the power of God, to not only see the power of God, but to believe in the God of the Bible, right? So that he might be able to have eternal life, right? Now you see the story of this girl is so different than that of a king. And I would even say this girl is even different than even Naaman. This little girl had trust in God, even though all these bad things happened to her, even though all these things happened that she does not want to happen, yet she still trusted in God, right? And look at Naaman's response also as well. Verses 8, it happened when Elisha, the man of God, heard the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent word to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? And I like this, it says plural, right? It's not just one clothes. I think he ripped up all 10 clothes also as well. Now let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman goes, and this is how rich Naaman is, verses 9. He has horses and chariots, plural, S, right? Many horses and chariots. Came over to where the prophet was at, in the house of Elisha, the prophet. And Elisha told him this thing, you want to be healed by leprosy? Verses 10. Go and wash in the Jordan River. How many times? 7 times. And your flesh or your skin will be restored to you and you will be clean. Go wash in a river there in Jordan. Wash yourself 7 times and you know God will heal you and there will be no more leprosy. What do you think Naaman's response was? Was he like this little girl and trusted what God's word say and say God is able and do all things? He did not do that. Verses 11. Naaman was furious and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of his of the Lord his God and waved his hand over the place and cured the leper, right? I like this story because why? This story here, Naaman's response is the exact opposite, just like the king of Israel, the exact opposite of this little girl. This little girl trusted in God, though she did not, there's many things she did not expect that happened to her. This guy had expected Naaman, Elisha the prophet, to heal him by saying, you know, waving at him, standing over him and saying, abracadabra, and be healed. When he heard that what the prophet's going to do is say, hey, go to the river and bathe 7 times. He said, hey, I expected you to like, you know, wave a wand and do a little magic trick and then I'll be healed. I did not expect this at all. What does he do? He become angry and with rage and say, huh, the rivers in my hometown is even better than the water in the Jordan, which is kind of true because the rivers are more north, right? Or more upstream. Upstream water is more cleaner than downstream water because everyone else uses the water and everything else, which is kind of true. And he says, hey, this is not everything I expect at all what God would do. And all he does is just get angry and have no trust. But this little girl, all these bad things happened in her life, things that didn't even she even expected to happen. And yet she still trusted in God, even the whole expectation was disappointed, yet she still trusted in the power of God, right? I want all of us, whether young or small, to have the faith like this little girl. When circumstances arise where it does not appear to be the way you thought it would be, will you still trust in God and the power of God and say, I don't know what it is, but I know your power is sufficient for me to get through all my trouble, to even do things that I thought it could not happen. And when God says, the way I want this to happen, the way I want to answer your prayer request is different than what you expect, will you listen to God, or you say, hey, I'm smarter, right? None of us are that smart. None of us are that wiser than God. We should always trust in God, right? We should always trust in God. There's a story I heard years ago. I probably butchered the story a little bit. It was a story about how in the Midwest, you guys know there's a lot of farming community and ranching community and stuff like that. And in the South, somewhere out there in the United States where it's a farmland. And if you guys know anything about farms, I know we live in a city and everything. But if you know anything about farming, farming depends on what? On many things, including rain, right? Rain, could we control the rain? Sort of, yeah, we could kind of like, you know, spark the plugs up there, and like, but that always ruined the environment and everything else, right? But there was no rain for a long time, so the church as a whole, and the whole city, and the whole town, the village, decides to pray for rain, right? So they prayed, and they kept on praying, and God kept on not answering and answering. And this went on for a long time. Suddenly one day, the community, even the mayor says, let's have a group meeting where everybody brings an object to show your faith in God, and people bring different things to show your love for God and why you want this rain, right? So some people bring their corn, some people bring seeds of corn, whatever else, and everybody brings an object, as the mayor said, to bring an object of faith. So everybody brings all these things. They had a potluck, they prayed, and suddenly when their prayer meeting was over, they went back home and they were so surprised by seeing, wow, God has answered their prayer request, and everybody was so happy that it rained. And it was so funny because as everybody walked back from the city hall to their cars and everything else, nobody had an umbrella except for one little girl who brought a small little umbrella, right? And I want us all to have the faith just the same way, like that little girl also as well, like this little nameless girl in Israel also as well. Do you have faith, right? And just in the same way with the story also as well, this little girl who brought the umbrella, the biggest faith you could ever have is if you really believe that God will answer your prayer requests, you probably bring an umbrella. You will live out what you really believe, right? If fully entrusting in God, that God's going to do it, and God's going to do it the way and we would expect him to respond, right? In the same way, I want to close by saying the reason why this little girl could live out this faith is because she has God with her, right? In fact, it is because God is with her that she's able to love her enemies, forgive them. It's because God is with her that she could even live through life through the tough times and yet still have peace. It is because God is with her that she could even trust him through everything and knowing that he could answer in every way also as well in his timing and his ways. I want to end by turning with me real quick to Matthew chapter 28. Verses 20. This is a promise of God in Matthew chapter 28, the 20th. These are one of the last few words of Jesus right before he went up to the sky after his resurrection. Matthew chapter 28 has a promise for everybody, young or small, if you truly believe in it, right? Matthew chapter 28 verses 20 states this, and this is a verse to even close your eyes to listen to. I'll begin with verses 19. Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And then here's this great promise in the end of verses 20. And lo, or behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We should all be like this little girl, to trust in God in the tough times, to love our enemies, and even to be able to trust in Him that He could do great things. But the reason why we could do all these things is because God is with this little girl. And God can also be in every one of you guys also as well, however young or however old you guys might be. If so long as you ask Jesus Christ and God to live in your heart, God loved us so much that He sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins so He could live in our life, so that He could be with us through the tough times in our life and do the tough things in life, such as even loving our enemies and having our prayers answered in our life. Will you turn to Jesus? If you do not know Jesus today, however young or small you are at, I say this every week, Nancy and I are always available. If you're a girl, talk to Nancy. If you're a guy, I'm always available for you to call. You could call me 2 a.m. in the morning if you want to trust in Jesus Christ. You could call me 3 a.m. in the morning, because it is so important that you know Jesus Christ in your life, that Jesus Christ is with you through all your problems. But more importantly, that Jesus Christ will live in you so that you will be saved from the fate of hell itself, so that you could be just like this Naaman, come to know God, who did not know God before, but now know God, and know the way to heaven. It is by Jesus Christ that He died for you. That He died for you so He could live for you forever. Not just only here, but even to eternity in heaven itself. Will you be like this little girl? Have God in your life. Let's close in a word of prayer.